Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Now, she's better known to listeners of this show as a top tech journalist, but it's all just a cover for her obsession of the Eurovision Song Contest. I'm joined in studio by Elaine Burke. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm very excited to talk about Eurovision.
Very excited. I can see a beam into you right now. You were going to run through the top five prospects for the big prize in Malmo this year. And let's start it all off with our very own Bambi Thug, because we absolutely love her and just love them. And just for a little context for everybody, here we go. This is my favourite part. I love it so much. It's phenomenal.
I think it's great. And when you think about Eurovision as a contest that involves 37 songs, and not all of them make it to that grand final, which will be 26 songs, you really have to stand out.
Yeah.
And this song has so many changes, so much variety in it. And Bambi Thug's look is so unique as well. I just think it would be hard for them not to make an impression on this massive international audience that they're going to get. And that's what you need to do. You need to make an impression. You need to be memorable. You've got a set amount of time to make a big impression in a morass of songs. And I think this is a song that can really do it and really stand out.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. Like, they are going to shine in a very big light because there's so much juxtaposition in the song.
Yeah, there's so much variety. And I think pop music has really gone down this route of late. Like, the really, really top level of pop music does this variety. You don't really just get bridge, chorus, verse anymore. You get all this variety. And you see, like, artists like C-Mat, Charlie XCX will construct songs like that. And I think Bambi Thug definitely has a future in doing great songs like that. And I think this song is class.
Well, they're our number one, obviously, naturally. But we need to talk about the scooter vibes that are coming out of the Netherlands.
Have a listen.
I'm just saying, but that got everyone going.
You can't not bop to that song. And I know I'm going to be in Malmo this year for one of the rehearsals and semifinals. And I know every time I hear this song, I'm going to be jumping out of my skin. Like, it's just, you have to bounce around to it. And talking about unique looks and performances and stuff like that, Joost Klein, who's doing this song for the Netherlands, he's got a peroxide blonde mullet and these, like, he tends to wear these blue suits with these big massive shoulder pads pointing upwards, and it's a very iconic look and memorable, and it just really takes me back, the whole scooter vibes of it.
I feel like there's a lot of scooter coming into my life today, because I saw a big billboard when I was coming in. There's ads for the radio for the tour that's going on, and now there's a piece of scooter via the Netherlands coming to Malmo this year. It's just
and
wild.
I love it because it sounds nearly like a parody song. It sounds like a Eurovision parody, but it's actually not. I feel like it's more of an homage, and I feel like the Eurovision fans are really taking it up as that as well and really enjoying it, and they're not kind of seeing it as some sort of, like, you know, side eye look at the event. I think it's kind of a celebratory parody song in a way.
Well, Eurovision is all about fun.
Absolutely.
And this is what that is. But, like, let's then talk about the Italian entry, because it's a bit more conventional. So just give me one second there, and I'm going to play our Italy one for you here. It's Italian straight away.
Yeah. And you do get that kind of, there is a bit of a paint by numbers Eurovision element where you get Euro pop mixed with some sort of traditional music. But this is a really great execution of that. Like, it's a fabulous song. Angelina Mango is the name of the performer, and that's just fun to say. And La Noia means boredom. And to craft such a fantastic, fun, boppy song about boredom is just like a great concept as well. And again, she has quite an iconic look too. I think she's going to do a really great performance, and I think it's going to be exciting to watch. And that is part of the magic of Eurovision as well. It's not just about having a great song that sounds good on Spotify. Mm-hmm. You need to deliver, and it's all about the vocal performance on the night, because none of the music is going to be live. It would be a nightmare to try and orchestrate 26 live music events one after the other. So her vocal will be really important on the night, and sometimes that can hamper a performance, sometimes it doesn't. But yeah, it's going to be one to watch, definitely.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. Now let's get right back into the madness, because we need to hear from Croatia with Baby Lasagna. Here we go. Bang of like baby emo off that a little bit.
Oh, there's like everything from the early 2000s is hot right now. And this is pure new metal. Like, it's really taken me back to my teens for sure. And I think like Croatia always kind of goes down this kind of punky, rocky route as well. Well, not always, but definitely they have a trend there. And this is one of their strongest entries in a long time. And they're really a hot ticket, like even favoured by the bookies. I should say these selections are my top five. There's not Marty Whelan's top five. But, and I lean towards the more fun, energetic songs like this one. And Rim Tim Tiggy Dim.
That's like the name of the song.
It's fun to say.
Rim Tim Tiggy Dim.
And everyone can learn how to say that and sing along. And the
Rim
act called
Tiggy Dim.
Baby Lasagna. Like, everything about this just makes me smile.
Oh my God. Okay, now Switzerland, they're never really one that springs to mind when you talk about Eurovision, but you like this one. So let's give everybody else a listen. This is in your top five. Somewhere between the O's and ones, that's where I found my kingdom come. My heart beats like a drum. Oh!
Yeah.
It sounds like a Bond movie.
This song goes everywhere.
Can't you see the opening credits though? You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, it's like, it's got these operatic elements to it, but then he also raps in it as well. And then it's a bit of a rock song. Like, it blends genres really, really well. It's genuinely just a really fun song to listen to. It's called The Code by Nemo. And I feel like the people who would have voted for Maneskin not that long ago will eat this up. And I'm sure they're still watching Eurovision and still voters at Eurovision. And I think it's a long time since Switzerland had like such a strong contender like this, so I'd be interested to see that. And again, Nemo, I think, is going to put on a cool performance. At his live performance for his selection show, was wearing like a ballerina outfit.
I was like trying to visualize this.
Yeah, with the rock band behind him. So like, it visually, I think it's going to be quite arresting and memorable. Key point about Eurovision has to be memorable. Yeah. You have to get to the end of the show and remember a song from the start of the show that you really want to vote for.
Yeah, and it has to stick with you the whole way through it, doesn't it? Because when it comes down to the voting, like, it is so snap. And we will talk about the voting in a second, but you mentioned there these are your favourites. They're not the bookies' favourites, but one of the bookies' favourites, and you'll get to see them in Malmo, is Israel. But do you think that they're going to suffer with the public votes given the ongoing protests about Gaza at the moment?
I would imagine they will. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's practically an inevitability. I have long not been a fan of Israel being part of Eurovision prior to October 7th, and there's always been people who protest at Eurovision events and stuff like that because of Israel's occupation of Palestine, and this again predates October 7th, so that element has already been part of the dialogue in Eurovision for a long time now. So I can imagine it's going to be much louder this year, and I do think that it's going to show in maybe some sort of protest during performances. Maybe even some performers from other countries may make statements, and I know they have made statements, but they may make statements in their performances. We could have any kind of stuff coming out of that.
Yeah, explain to me about the votes in simple terms. How does it work, and what part of the public is the makeup of it?
So it's 50-50. So a panel from your country, I think it's a 5 people from each country, will assign the 1 to 12 mm-hmm. votes. And it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12. There's no 9 or 11 for whatever reason.
Yeah, never knew this.
Yeah, the maths of it is fascinating. And I ran a Eurovision myself during 2020 when we had no Eurovision to go with. So I actually researched the maths of a fan. Yeah. So 50% of the vote is from that jury vote, that 1 to 12. And then what happens is you get the votes from each country from their televoting. And that's text and phoning and also email, I believe, as well, works as well. So say Ireland's televote will be compiled and ranked 1 to 12 as well.
Okay.
And rather than, you know, Niamh Kavanagh or Marty Whelan delivers a 1 to 12 again, like they do with the jury vote, all of those votes are tabulated together. So when they go to doing the jury vote, this is the most exciting part of the show every year, because we've gone through the jury vote and everyone's thinking, oh, you know, so-and-so has won it. But then everything can change because they switch to the audience vote and you don't know what numbers are coming through, because they're, you know, random tallies of various ones and twos and threes and tens and twelves. And when it gets to do it, they start with whoever got the lowest amount of audience votes and then they work up to the highest. So you know you're getting to the bigger numbers. It's usually 3 figures when they get to those last few, but you still don't know how many points they're going to reveal for each one. So the tension is unbelievable. It's so much fun. And then they also have in that mix, they have a rest of world vote. So there's all of the 37 countries competing this year will have a 1 to 12 and then a rest of world vote. So everyone outside of those 37 countries who can also vote in Eurovision, because it does have viewership outside of the 37 countries that compete.
I would imagine.
Yeah, and they can vote as well, and they're compiled as a rest of world vote, which again gets a 1 to 12.
Oh
ranking.
My God, I'm obsessed with this.
So there's over 4,000 points altogether are doled out on the night.
The greatest piece of information I have there is that there's no 9 and 11. I want to do more work into this. I'm like, what's going on? Dupois. We're speaking about fun. We're speaking about like pop, and Ollie Alexander, he is everything to me. But you were quite disappointed by his entry this year. He's representing the UK.
I love Ollie. Just a supremely talented man. And I was very excited that he's going to be participating in Eurovision this year. And I still am. I am just delighted that someone with his like platform and prowess is involved with this competition. It kind of shows, it gives it the credibility that it deserves. But I don't think it's his best song. Like, I think he's better than this song. Mm. It's a little bit paint by numbers, a little bit basic. Like, it's fine, but it doesn't stand out in that mix of the 37, and that is crucial. He'll stand out because he's Ollie Alexander and already has a massive following.
But that can't get you everywhere.
Exactly.
You need to have those songs back it up.
Yeah, I sure, agree. We've even had Flo Rida, and I don't think he got past the semi-finals when he competed for Cyprus.
It's a different beast altogether. Yeah. There are a lot of female vocalists overall this year. And why do you think this is?
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's definitely heavily weighted to female vocalists. Mm. And I think maybe that's because even if you looked at the recent awards shows in music, really dominated by female artists, the Grammys and the Brit Awards and things like that. So I think it's a really reflection of the music scene at the moment. It is quite dominated by female vocalists. You have like your Taylor Swift's, your Billie Eilish's, your Olivia Rodrigo's are some of the biggest artists of the moment. Beyonce, of course. Yeah. And you can actually see some of their influences carrying through as well. There are a couple of acts that I would see as Olivia Rodrigo light. There's even actually some Loreen influences, I think, coming through on some of the songs as well.
It's hard not
she's
to.
Last year's winner. Yeah. And it's, you know, I think some people think, yes, just do what last year did.
No.
But Eurovision winners from year to year are very, very varied. And there is no formula here. You can have a Lordi and you can have that Portuguese ballad that won mm-hmm. 1 year, and then you can have Netta's Toy, and then you can have Maneskin, like all sorts.
It really is about being original in yourself and going for it. Like you can't copy or do paint by numbers. Exactly,
and you have to stand out in amongst almost 40 songs. Like that's the real challenge.
Finally, right, as a tech head, and people are normally used to you, Elaine, being a tech head on this show, how much is this lad called Windows 95 man? Like, this is Finland's entry. We need to have a little listen to this. This is hilarious.
Brilliant. Like, you can hear, like, it's not in my top 5 because it's not quite the quality of those songs, but this will be one to watch, and I'd be shocked if they don't make it to the final, because it's just going to be hilarious. Windows 95 man is the act, and it's a guy dressed like he's from the 90s, and he has a Windows 95 t-shirt, which I think they're going to have to blur out during the competition because it's a, you know, it's a business logo and it can't be promoting that. And even the act being called Windows 95 Man, I'm sure they had to go through some machinations to make sure that they're allowed to do that.
I'm just imagining if they drop the last W, you get around that.
Windows.
Something. There has to be some trick of how they can go.
I mean,
this.
The song's called No Rules, so obviously they're flouting the rules to begin with, but it's just definitely going to be a fun one that people are going to talk about.
Elaine Burke, I'm excited for your post-dissection of the Eurovision, and I cannot wait for you to head off to Malmo. That is Elaine Burke, host for Tech's Sake podcast and full-time Eurovision fan. Thank you so much for coming in. It is only 1 month to go. Come on, Bambi Tug!
Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.